Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Coming up in this edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, we talk about some major rule revisions in 1974 that happened on this date and some great NFL drafts that had their first round, and it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where today we're going to talk about the football history headlines for April 25th and some great birthdays of Hall of Famers. Let's start off with our gridiron headlines. On April 25th, 1974, sweeping NFL rules reform. The newspapers.com football history headline of the day comes from the April 26, 1974 edition of the Miami Herald, which had its bold-faced heading reading, NFL brings in sudden death, changes rules for field goals. The Herald Wired Service was, of course, talking about an April 25th NFL rules meeting in New York City that the league responded to criticism on safety and sagging offenses. The sweeping changes were to first move the goalposts from the goal line to the end line and also adopt sudden death overtime for all regular and exhibition games. Another rule that made a difference was that a missed field goal would either be returned to the 20-yard line or to the previous line of scrimmage, whichever was further from the goal line of the next series to start. Commissioner Pete Rozelle, walking out of the meetings, was quoted as saying, "I am extremely pleased. I felt the coaches were doing too good of a job with defenses. This should make things interesting." And what would make it interesting? Well, the article goes on to say that these changes include where kickoffs will be from the 35-yard line to encourage kick returns and are designed to provide more scoring by offenses. Another revision in the kicking game that was members of the punting and kicking teams could not go beyond the line of scrimmage until the ball was kicked. Some of the biggest impactful changes were due to eliminate some of the downfield contact that defensive backs could perform downfield on receivers, such as roll blocking and cutting. The offensive holding penalties were reduced to 10 yards from previously being 15 yards in variety, and crack back blocks, which are blocks where the blocker is heading back towards their own goal line, could no longer be below the waist of the defender. So why so many sweeping changes at one time? Well, Rozelle and his presser said that the changes were in the works for 2 years, but individually were voted down. The commish stated, "The competition committee decided to present them as a total package rather than pick them apart. To pass, there needed to be at least 20 of the 26 franchises that voted in favor," according to Rozelle, "and it wasn't even close." The Atlanta Falcons head coach Norm Van Brocklin, who opposed the changes, expressed his feelings when he said, "My personal opinion is that it's a reaction to the media. They were made by the owners and not by the coaches." His statement implied that the coaches now would need to make even more crucial decisions in a game and spend more time during the week on scheme and strategy. Years later, we can look back and say the rules, for the most part, started improvement in the league's offensive firepower. Proof. Let's look at it. The proof that the stats, according to the Pro Football Reference in 1973, before these changes, teams averaged only 19.5 points per game with only 285.3 yards a game of total offense. Now, in 1975, 2 years after the rules implied, there was 20.6 points per game, so 1.1 points per game improvement, and 308.3 yards per game, which is 23 more yards of offense in just a year and a half. More offense was indeed gained with more scoring, and the popularity of the game rose, and so did the revenues. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like the Miami Herald, like we did today, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating from 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. April 25th, 1993. The 1993 draft took place, and the New England Patriots used the first selection of the draft to take Washington State quarterback Drew Bledsoe. The Hall of Fame players that so far have come out of this draft class are tackle Willie Rofe, who was the number 8 pick by the New Orleans Saints, running back Jerome Bennis, who was the 19th overall selection by the St. Louis Rams, and Michael Strahan, a defensive lineman taken by the New York Giants with the 40th pick. Will Shields, a guard selected by Kansas City at pick number 74, and the steal of the week, it may have been John Lynch, another future Hall of Famer, as a defensive back chosen by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 82nd overall selection in the draft, per the ProFootballReference.com. This was the first draft that was reduced from 12 rounds down to only 8. There were a couple other NFL drafts that started on this day. In particular, April 25th, 2009, at that NFL draft, Georgia quarterback Matthew Stafford was the first pick by the Detroit Lions. According to the Pro Football Reference website, the rest of the top 10 of this draft class went like this. Number 2, the St. Louis Rams took Jason Smith, a tackle from Baylor. Kansas City Chiefs, in the third spot, took Tyson Jackson, a defensive end of LSU. Number 4 saw Seattle take Aaron Curry, a linebacker out of Wake Forest. At number 5, the New York Jets picked quarterback from USC, Mark Sanchez. And number 6, Cincinnati took Andre Smith, a tackle from Alabama. Maryland wide receiver Darius Heyward-Bey came off next at number 7 to Oakland. And Jacksonville, with the 8th pick, took Eugene Monroe, a tackle from Virginia. B.J. Raji, a defensive tackle, Boston College, went to Green Bay with the 9th pick. And the San Francisco 49ers chose Michael Crabtree, wide receiver from Texas Tech. Another NFL draft took place April 25th, 2013. In that draft class, Central Michigan had their former tackle, Eric Fisher, taking number 1 overall by the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we had Jacksonville take Luke Jokel, a tackle out of Texas A&M. A defensive end from Oregon, Deion Jordan, went to Miami with the 3rd pick. And Philadelphia Eagles, in the 4th spot, took Lane Johnson, a tackle from Oklahoma. Ezekiel Ansah, BYU's defensive end, went to the Detroit Lions with the 5th pick. And Cleveland took Barcavius Mingo, a linebacker from LSU, in number 6. The Arizona Cardinals, they took a guard out of North Carolina, Jonathan Cooper, with the 7th pick. And at number 8, the St. Louis Rams took Tavon Austin, wide receiver out of West Virginia. The New York Jets had the 9th selection. They chose Dee Milner, a defensive back from Alabama. And Chance Warmack, a guard, went to the Tennessee Titans. Okay, here's a third recent draft that we don't have any Hall of Famers out of yet. April 25th, 2019, the NFL draft took place, and Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray was a number 1 pick by the Arizona Cardinals. Again, we use the informative Pro Football Reference website to generate this draft class of top 10 choices, with the San Francisco 49ers taking Nick Bosa, defensive end of Ohio State, with the 2nd pick. The New York Jets took Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle out of Alabama, at number 3. And the Oakland Raiders took the 4 spot. They chose Clelin Ferrell, a defensive end from Clemson. LSU linebacker Devin White went to Tampa Bay with the 5th pick. And the Giants took quarterback Daniel Jones out of Duke with the 6th. Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen was Jacksonville's pick at number 7. And Detroit Lions chose a tight end from Iowa, TJ Hawkinson, with the 8th pick. The Buffalo Bills took a defensive tackle from the University of Houston, Ed Oliver, with the 9th. And the Pittsburgh Steelers chose Devin Bush Jr., a linebacker, when they traded. And Devin Bush was from Michigan. They traded into that spot to take him at middle linebacker. And those are just some great draft picks that we've seen. And those are going to be some stars of tomorrow and of today. Let's talk a little bit more about yesterday. And we'll go back to some birthdays of Hall of Famers for this April 25th. Starting off in the year 1927. Hector, Minnesota. Minnesota's Gustav Adolphus tackle Calvin Roberts was born. With Roberts in the lineup, the Golden Gusties won three consecutive league titles and boasted a 23-1 regular season record per the BallFoundation.org. The 1951 team was undefeated as Roberts won the first of his two All-American honors and became a three-time All-MIAC selection. The National Football Foundation selected Calvin Roberts for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2003. Calvin was drafted by the New York Giants, but an illness prevented him from taking on competition at the professional level. Therefore, Roberts entered into the Marine Corps, and he was named to the All-Marine Corps team while playing for the El Toro Marines. Calvin later became a line coach at Augsburg College for a short period before entering as a role as a teacher in physical education. April 25, 1954, Brooklyn, New York. Randy Cross, the tough interior lineman of the UCLA Bruins, arrived to declare his date of birth. The National Football Foundation tells the tale of how Cross was a standout at UCLA and on their line and helped the Bruins avenge an earlier 41-20 blowout loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes. At the 1976 Rose Bowl, UCLA slipped past the top-ranked Ohio State squad in one of the largest upsets in Rose Bowl history, subsequently denying OSU of their national championship aspirations. Starting as the team's center midway through the sophomore season, the coaches moved Randy to play guard for his final 2 years of eligibility, where he became a first-team All-Conference and first-team All-American as a senior. Randy Cross received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2010. After graduation, Cross was picked by the San Francisco 49ers in the 1976 NFL Draft. Randy thrived in the leagues for 13 years and won three Super Bowls with the franchise. Avoiding major injury, the Iron Man missed only 8 games in his professional career, propelling him to be named to 3 All-Pro teams, and he was voted the San Francisco 49ers Man of the Year in 1985 for his work in the community. Later, after taking off the jersey for the last time, Cross became a television analyst, and what a fine job he's done there. And some other folks that are doing a fine job is our friends over at thesportshistorynetwork.com. My partners there have some great podcasts on all kinds of sports history you want to check out, from sports from all eras, just talking sports history, because sportshistorynetwork.com is the headquarters for sports yesteryear. Also, you can check out our great podcast and our great website, pigskindispatch.com, and see all of our blog posts and all of our other posts that come up, including our Football by Numbers series, and see all of our podcasts there by going pigskindispatch.com/podcast. All 260 some podcasts are there for your listening enjoyment, to catch up, binge listen, whatever you'd like to do, share it with friends. So make sure you check those out, and if you have any questions, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to get back to you very quickly with those. And you can also write us there too if you want to get put on our email list to get the blog posts and podcasts sent to your inbox every single morning before 7 a.m. Eastern time, so they're there for you when you need them. So tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.